Next is a meeting with disciples on January 6, 1996, in Sri Vrindavan Dham.
More important than praying to God and His receiving it is for us is to listen to His response, meaning to know what His will is in our life, and of course to carry it out. And then I read Prabhupada liking that statement and saying how it happens by Krishna's mercy. He reveals Himself very intimately, ultimately, to the devotee. So after the class, there were questions and there were comments, but nobody picked up on that. They were talking about other things. I'll talk a little bit about some of the comments and the other things also. But about that point of listening to God's will, I spoke a little bit about it in the class and said how we should try to do that while we're in Vrindavan, and how it's God revealing Himself to us in our life. There's another field in which He does it, as He does it in Shastra, to the particular events of our life. And so we have to examine our life and see what's happening and what Krishna wants. Because I say it's not an easy thing to know what Krishna wants us to do. So it's something that I'm trying to do, and it's something that, since I have a responsibility to help you, it's something I'd like to help you with. And I suggest that it be a theme for you in your stay in Vrindavan and your whole life. But Vrindavan is something surcharged. When we come here, there's more. We expect to do something special in spiritual life. We should. And don't get carried away only by waves of social or academic activity while we're here. there's a role, a particular role of solitude and privacy that helps in this. And by that I don't mean it has to be, mostly it can't be, external, that you go all alone somewhere. But while living in a community of devotees, still, you can do that. You have your own room or your own time and space somewhere. And even if you take a walk, if you live with people, you can still take a walk. Or you can be in a room with other people and still be alone. You have to create some special environment like that in which you can enhance Krishna speaking to you. Of course, He can speak to you right in the midst of a very busy activity, if you notice. But we're not always so expert. But when you can try to listen, then it's more effective. For myself, I get up very early, and I can't just silently meditate. Neither is it recommended. The mind is too difficult to control. But by reading in a receptive mood, then that may take place. That now I'm reading. I'm not just reading to prepare a lecture or to write an essay. But I just want to hear what Krishna is saying, what Prabhupada is saying. And they can speak to you in that way. Personally, if you feel personal and you feel receptive. And the same is true of receptive chanting. So I feel with these solitude and privacy will enhance your ability to hear more clearly what Krishna is saying in your life. That's by reading and chanting. And as far as your life, what's happening, there are different ways to be aware of that. And I know some devotees are at crossroads. Some of the devotees here, and they're trying to think, what should I do next? And they may have left one service, not sure what they're going to go back to, and so on. So it's the time for trying to understand what Krishna wants you to do, and how to make an improvement in that way. I do writing. That's one of the reasons I write, is to try to find out who I am and where I want to go. There's a little story I can tell you about the life of one of the Christian saints who became Saint Ignatius. And he was the one who started the Jesuit movement. And so, like some of the saints in our line also, he was not always saintly. So he was a professional soldier. And as goes with that profession, he was like a real drunkard and woman hunter. So one time he was injured in one of the wars, and he was laid up in a hospital for a long time in injuries. So he had to pass his time. He had nothing to do. He had a book, I think, a couple of books. They never had read before, a book about Jesus, a book about saints. So he spent his time in doing two things. One thing was he was planning what he would do when he got better in his usual way of life, thinking of what women he would go look up and find new women, and thinking of how he would get drunk and, you know, have all kinds of rousing soldierly activities. He spent like about half his time thinking about that. And then by reading these books, he began to spend sort of another half of his time in a completely different way, thinking that, I think when I get better, I'm really inspired by this. I would like to take a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in Jerusalem. I would walk there barefoot and just completely change my life. That was like a daydream, and we'd go from one to the other, two completely different things. And so all alone, he kept spending his time like this day after day. And although he wasn't aware of it at first, the nature of his different thinking, he began to see that it fell into a pattern, and his responses to it fell into a pattern. And that is, when he thought about getting drunk and running after women, at first it enlivened him, that's why he thought about it. But then afterwards it left him feeling very bad and depressed. But any time he thought about the other, going barefoot and becoming a holy man, it left a glowing feeling. It left him feeling that this was a great thing to do. So he began to notice this, and took it that this has some meaning, that God must be indicating to me that this thing which I am really inclined to do will actually make me happy. And the other, though I'm inclined to do it, it doesn't make me happy. And so I just gave that example as of how a person, of course you have to have powers to do that, to examine your life and to think like that. But at least it's the kind of thing we normally think of. We tend to think about ourselves and think, what am I going to do? It's not, in fact, we very naturally gravitate to that, partly out of false ego. But it's who we are. We have this body, we have this life and karma. So what am I going to do? Am I going to go back to my business? Am I going to change my life when I go back? And so on. So we're thinking about it anyway. And then sometimes you think like that. Well, maybe I won't just go back to the same old rut. I think I'll do something really advanced for my spiritual life. So you could eventually start to notice how you really feel about those two, about the different alternatives, when you think maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that and so on. There's another way to try to understand what Krishna wants us to do. I can't think of a way like going on a big fast and starting to cut your flesh or something, and then after 3 days Krishna will speak to you, but by very humble methods of very small increments, sometimes bit by bit, the pros and cons are weighed, and you think that maybe it's not just my thinking, but Krishna is giving me some indication. But sometimes through the material energy, Krishna really, you know, smacks you in the face or something, or really turns you in this way, and that's it. So you say, well, that's it, that's providence. And then you have to accept that. It can be very dramatic. Now, about a little follow-up about the questions and answers after the prayer talk. Hari Sori, after a few questions and answers had been given, he sort of summarized from his point of view and said that it was all right to pray with sentiments, which may be faulty, but come from the heart. However, it should be in line with Siddhanta Parampara. So I wasn't inclined to disagree with him. But I would have more to say about it than it was left at. And I did say it, but not directly after he said that. After Mahanidhi Swami had spoken, I was saying that, yes, our prayer may be imperfect, but Krishna will understand that we want to be sincere. So the additional point I would make to Harisori Prabhu's comment is that Siddhanta is Siddhanta, and it's perfect. But especially if I was making a literary prayer, I would be sure to make the sentiment in line with Parampara before I write it on the wall or show it to someone else or even offer it to Krishna. But it so happens that I don't always line up with Siddhanta. That's why I'm a conditioned soul, why I'm less with perfect. So what to do with all that? All that expression or all that feeling. And that's the kind of thing I often express in my writing, starting with where I'm actually at. And so prayer or conversing with Krishna for us has to start at an honest place. Not just that, you know, we have to make it perfect before we present it to Krishna, because Krishna knows Parampara and he doesn't want anything but Parampara. Well, then everyone who wasn't always perfect, they couldn't speak to Krishna, unless they were completely enlivened and pure and so on. That's not a fact. And so I gave the example of the prayer Gopinath. There are some verses here I could read. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitive work. I have fallen into this dark and perilous worldly existence. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. O Gopinath, you are able to do anything, and therefore you have the power to deliver all sinners. Who is there more of a sinner than myself? And here's one I particularly like. O Gopinath, is this your judgment, that seeing me averse to you, you abandon your servant and don't bestow even a particle of mercy upon him? O Gopinath, I am certainly very foolish, and I have never known what is good for me. O Gopinath, you are indeed the wisest person. Please look for a way to bring about auspiciousness for this fool, and please do not consider this servant as an outsider. O Gopinath, my mind is crazy and does not care for any authority. So that's not Parampara. We should be sane. We should obey authorities. But he's saying, and he's addressing his mind to Gopinath, you know me, I'm not like that. I'm crazy. I don't care for authority. It is always senseless, my mind. It has remained in the dark pit of worldly affairs. So he's unredeemed in one sense. He's not delivered. But he's not disrespectful of Krishna. He's not wanting to be a rogue number one. But he can't stop being it. So he's calling to Krishna, please help him. O Gopinath. So it's like a duality exists between this perfection or Siddhanta and us. And this is causing us pain, and we're praying. Not that we're lined up with the perfection, or we are perfection, before we pray. O Gopinath, I've accepted my defeat. All of my various endeavors were useless. Now you are my only hope. O Gopinath, after sitting down in the core of my heart and subduing my mind, please take me to you. In this way, the horrible dangers of this world will disappear. O Gopinath, you are Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Seeing me so helpless, please control these senses of mine and deliver me from this dark and perilous worldly existence. Okay. I've got my eye on the clock because the clock runs fast. I'll just tell you what my agenda is. I may not be able to do it all. I wanted to talk about japa. Earlier I was even thinking of chanting around together. And some readings from Namamrita, some readings from my diary. Phew. And but what I just said here, I thought also maybe to pause here and ask for some questions about this prayer and hearing about Krishna and hearing him reveal himself in your life, since I said it was a value. And we don't have to cover everything. We can, next time we meet, by the way, which will be tomorrow night, right? We can go on with the japa agenda if we don't cover it all. So are there any questions? Go up here. Well, that's our prayer then. I don't know who I am. Please reveal to me. The Sanatana Goswami said like that, they call me a pandit, but I'm such a pandit, I don't even know who I am. Please tell me, Kayami, who am I? And why are these threefold miseries giving me misery? So, that's a prayer. I'm in ignorance, and please give me the light. Om Agyana Timurandasya. Please, reveal to me. I don't even know who I am. I think I'm this body. I think I'm a pandit. And I'm so concerned about all these things based on a wrong conception. So it's a good start for a prayer. I don't even know how to pray to you. Please let me know who I am. So that I can serve you properly. Then we can say that, like I, Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, I know by philosophy and I have faith in philosophy that I'm your servant eternally, but I'm dunked into the ocean of birth and death, so I really don't know what my service is and so on. Please lift me up and place me as the atom at your lotus feet. So to know who we are, especially in the personal relationship, that's very advanced. Like I read that Lolium, you should cry for some service. Nobody called me on reading that, and challenged me, but someone could have said, well, this prayer, as I understand it, this prayer is asking for your direct relationship and your eternal rasa with Krishna. And it's not saying, please let me be the pujari or please let me go on book distribution. But I would have answered, well, it could be. It can be prayed from the beginning stage also, that I want to know what service I may do in the Krishna consciousness movement. That's very important. If I don't know that, what I really like to do for Krishna and what Krishna wants me to do, then I'll never reach my rasa just by thinking about it. So Lolium can be taken like that, crying to just know, what can I do that I can really do as my service? And if you really cry, perfection of service is in tears, and Krishna will say, oh, look at this devotee, so sincere, he wants to serve and doesn't know what service to do, give her a nice service. What you said, I've been thinking about that as very important and central in my own thinking, that I want to know who am I? And not in the rasa sense, but I'm doing service, but is that what I am? Or should I be something else? Janmasmi says he's a temple peasant. He's not sure he will remain the temple peasant. He wants to be the temple peasant. And probably every one of you, some may be more fixed in another way, or this way, or that way. So even if you are fixed, like I feel fixed, I don't feel that, I like what I'm doing, I feel I continue to do it, but then is this just what I want to do? Is it what you want to do? Who am I? And what should I do? What do I really want to do? And is what I want to do what you want me to do? That's all involved in what you're asking, what's my identity? And then Krishna says, you're all right, you should do this. Or actually, you should actually do this. And as I say, how's he going to tell you? It may have to be that you examine your life very carefully and listen to others and so on. And then you just do it. But that's not a reason not to pray if you don't know who you are. We know a lot more than the average person. He doesn't know who to pray to. And his ignorance is that he definitely doesn't even think he's the eternal servant of God. But we accept this. We know that. I'm your eternal servant. I'm a servant of Prabhupada, servant of his servant. And I just want to know who I am, though, better. Yes. Yeah. A devotee's life may be a prayer. Something flashed in my mind as I said it. I thought of Prabhupada when he lived the Radha Damodar rooms, and then the devotees came and they first saw him there. He pointed out to them one old lady who used to do service to him and others. And every day she would get the water from the Yamuna and bring it to the temple for sadhus. And she lived very simply and poorly and was not educated. Had a shaved head. Old lady. And Prabhupada praised her regularity in particular. I think he said she would go back to Godhead for that. But every day, you know, without fail, she would go to the Yamuna and get the water and do different functions. So that would be like a life that's a prayer. The whole life is concentrated in a very humble way of service to the Vaishnavas and to Radha Damodar. What more prayer needs to be said by such a person? And there are so many lives that are like that. Somebody else who's more fluent in language, he can come and say what it is, but their life is prayer by action, and action in devotion. So our life should not be a series of sins and blunders, hesitations, never getting it together, but it should be shaped at some point into prayer. Of course, what he was worried about is somebody just trusting their emotions and thinking of themselves or thinking of God or thinking of their service in a way that was concocted and didn't tally with Siddhanta. And that is that verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharantra Vidimbada. If you're enthusiastic to do something, say something, but it's not in line with Shruti and Smriti, then it causes a disturbance to others. I think of like some of the innovations of Kirtanananda. You know, he came up with all these things by sentiment or speculation, and he misled a lot of people. It wasn't Siddhanta, the way he made up a new kind of religion and departed from Prabhupada. So that's a legitimate worry that sentiment has to be checked by Shastra. I was just making the other point that, you know, prayer has to be very honest. You may start out saying, you know, Krishna, I don't even feel like praying, but I'd rather, you know, be engaged in such and such sense gratification, but I'm starting to pray for you. And so the reluctance and the things I'd confessed and admitted to Krishna, that are not perfect, not Siddhanta, before you come to him. And you can't wait, you have to come now, like Gopinath's prayer. But you're making a different point, that according to individual, may the Siddhanta differ. I wouldn't put it that way, it's like one Siddhanta, but there are different expressions of it. According to the individual, and different emphasis, but it wouldn't be that I have a Siddhanta and you have a Siddhanta. That's different. It's one, the same. But it's so big. Like you can speak of that in many ways. One way would be in terms of the nine principles of devotional service. Prabhupada says a devotee emphasizes a certain one or ones according mostly to his taste. So I may say, you know, this is deity worship. We really want to do deity worship. I so much like to do deity worship. And you're saying, well, of course I know that's there, but I'm more interested in doing this work in public communications to make Prabhupada's movement better understood by the public and something like that. So they're quite different, but they're both supported by Siddhanta. If somebody does one thing, somebody does another thing. Or up in this stage of rasa, you know, cowherd boys want to play with Krishna, and in a different and even contrary mood, the mothers don't want Krishna to go running off like that. So it's almost like a different conclusion. Krishna should stay home, and he should be clean, and let me take care of him. You know, no, Krishna should not stay home. He should get dirty, and he should forget his parents and play. So different, but it's the same. Krishna's in the center, and Krishna likes to do both of those things. He likes to go home and say, "Oh, mother, I don't want to play with the boys anymore. They're lying and cheating, and they made propaganda. I just want to suck your breast and stay home." And then when he's with the boys, forgets his mother. And she says, "Come home, come home, come home." He doesn't come home. That much difference. So maybe we can leave this topic. And yet there's not enough time for launching fully into japa topic. At least I'll read one selection from Namamita. Again, I went through the table of contents and let it try to speak to me. And I stopped at something. I said, "Oh, this I want to read." But then I thought, well, this is an odd thing to want to read. And it was, devotees must chant at least 16 rounds daily. I thought, well, everybody knows that. How's that going to be an inspiration? Talk about the idea, the feeling might be, oh, it's just the minimum, we know. But I wanted to, when I looked at it, something, and I thought, yes, this is good. So I'll read just one selection. It's from Antilila. Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur, "Now that you have become old, you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. You're already liberated. Therefore, you need not follow the regulative principles very strictly." Then Prabhupada says, "Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, he must follow the regulative principles. Thakur Haridas was a living example of how to follow the regulative principles." And so only at the very, very end of his life did he stop. Similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami was also such a living example. In the Sad Goswami Astaka, it is stated, "Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nati Bi." The Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, strictly followed all the regulative principles. The first regulative principle is that one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly enough so that he can hear himself, and one must vow to chant a fixed number of rounds. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting a fixed number of rounds, but he had also taken a vow to bow down many times and offer obeisances to the Lord. So the vow, the sacred vow, which you said aloud at your initiation, that you'll chant at least 16 rounds. I think this is a wonderful thing. It's not like a mere 16 to be disparaged. It's our promise, and it's also it's life-saving for us. So it's a kind of a nectar thing for such lowly people who don't really like to chant, that they take very seriously. "Oh, devil, I'm going to chant my 16 rounds. I must chant my 16 rounds. It's my life. I have to chant my 16 rounds. If I don't, I have to chant them the next day." This is such a great boon and such a solid thing in our life. We all have it. It's so strong, I hope. I know it's strong in my life. I assume it's strong in your life. So even if the quality isn't good, that the vow and the dedication to it is a great plus. So, but yes, I do see it sometimes waning. This year there was one couple who I initiated, and the wife kept saying to me how difficult it was to chant 16 rounds because of raising the children. And the husband, he kept saying how difficult it was for the wife also. And they were like trying to chip away at me. I don't know. I kept writing letters that sympathizing with her situation. He was saying, well, the thing is, she's dedicated to chanting the 16 rounds, but she gets very irritated in dealing with the children and with me. So wouldn't it be better if she just chant whenever she wants? I mean, I don't think God or Krishna is just counting that you got to do 16 rounds. He presented things in a very plausible way. Yeah, even argued well that, Krishna, he wants to see the quality. And then I would say, yeah, but Prabhupada said we should chant 16 rounds. And if we don't, we'll chant less and less. So we have to show our devotion by chanting this much. And then he would say, and I said, anyway, if somebody doesn't chant their rounds, I don't condemn them, but he wanted to actually, he wasn't asking me forgiveness for his wife for not chanting, but asking me to say that it's all right not to chant. I said, I can't say that. He said, yeah, I know that's your position. You can't change your position. As if it was like a rigid position I'd be compromised to make as a sannyasi. And then he would say, well, you're an ascetic. You can chant, but I can't chant because I'm a businessman. And in different ways try to disarm me from this strong presentation, making it sound dogmatic and so on. I really get a workout sometimes in trying to defend 16 rounds against people who make these impassioned pleas on the basis of all kinds of arguments about what God really wants and how he's not counting the rounds and everything. I just think it's kind of sad, though, that people get into this so much. And it's just the beginning. Like she said, I like to chant. That's the whole thing. I like to chant. It's such a nice thing to do. But I like to do it when I want to do it, when I can do it, and not be forced to chant these 16 rounds. They eat away at the vow that they took, and finally they drop it. And then they chant less and less, usually. So that was one phenomenon I encounter. But the vow gives us shelter. The vow is nectar. And we improve in quality within the vow. Hiranagiri Das was saying that there was one thing I said that really he liked. I said, so tomorrow is another day. Meaning that early in the morning we can get up and we can chant. We have another chance. Tomorrow is another chance. Provided we don't die overnight. When we rise, although we didn't chant well today, perhaps tomorrow is another clear slate chance. You may think, well, it's not a clear slate. I've got such bad habits. But still there's hope. And we've got a fresh beginning, and we begin to chant again, another chance. So that's involved in the vow also. And one other selection shows how this is a Prabhupada thing. He talks about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's prescription and his own prescription. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen, but because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. Increasing the rounds is another topic I'm not going to discuss right now, but the 16 is what it is. All right. 6 o'clock. hear the fruit. So we can meet again tomorrow, 5 o'clock. I'm expecting more devotees will come to the Dham. More of my disciples I'm expecting. Any day now. Expecting Ram Roy, Munajivana, Sankarshan, from Calcutta, Achyuta, Chitendra Chandradaya, from Bombay, I think. Sarangi and her husband, not my disciple, but good friend, Devaki Nandan. Who? Madhavi from Bombay. Param Brahma, Aginanda. Vilaj Chaitanya, and his wife. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of devotees still coming. Yerananda, to Santo Domingo. Not the other one. Okay, chant. And pray to Krishna to tell you how he wants you to serve him.
Mate bhakti vedanta swami ditti nāme Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Kasarine Nirvasita Kanyavari Pachata Desakarine Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vaishnavi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Nityagor Haribo, 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 Haribo. Nityagor Haribo, 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 Haribo. Nityagor Haribo, 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 Haribo.